Oui, I just lost my best audience. The most spiritual people are leaving me. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. But in the church today, I would rather speak five intelligible words. Please open with me to 2 Chronicles, chapter 17, from verse 1, where we'll find the story about Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, his son, Asa's son, succeeded him as king and strengthened himself against Israel. He stationed troops in all the fortified cities of Judah and put garrisons in Judah and in the towns of Ephraim that his father Asa had captured. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because in his early years he walked in the ways of his father David. He did not consult the Baals, but sought the God of his father and followed his commands rather than the practices of Israel. The Lord established the kingdom under his control, and all Judah brought gifts to Jehoshaphat so that he had great wealth and honor. His heart was devoted to the ways of the Lord. Furthermore, he removed the high places and the Asherah poles from Judah. You know about Israel that when in the time of David and Solomon, that country was the most prosperous country in the world. But once Solomon's heart got divided in two, his kingdom, his country got divided as well. And after that, we know that the northern side of that country, called Israel, had 19 the worst kings. And when you read about every one of them, you find that everyone did worse than his parents. And when you look to the southern part, called Judah, that country had 20 kings, and out of them only 8 of them were good. Actually, only 4 of them were fully committed to God. 4 of them were so-so. And Jehoshaphat was one of them, one of the kings who was fully committed to God. And in order to understand him, let's go to his father's reign, because sometimes if you would like to understand a person, you have to look to his family. And when we look to Asa's reign, we find that his reign was divided in two as well. He reigned 41 years, but 35 of them were the best peaceful years of his reign, and 5 years were years of downfall. When you look to 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 18, you'll find that in that period of peace, he was bringing into the house of the Lord. But the next chapter, the second verse, you immediately find that the next 5 years, he was taking out from the house of the Lord. Sometimes that happens with us. There are periods when we are bringing in our talents, our gifts, everything that we have into the house of the Lord, and sometimes we are just taking out. We are consumers. What happened in the 36th year of his reign? Those 35 years were the most blessed years, and when we are with the Lord, of course we experience prosperity, but that doesn't mean that we will not have trials. And in fact, he had one of the biggest, or one of the greatest trials in his life. You'll find that in chapter 14, that the Ethiopians, they attacked him with the vast army of more than 1 million people, and also they had 300 chariots, and they were like tanks in nowadays. And Esther came against them only 580,000 of people, but what she did was amazing. And let's read that from chapter 14, verse 11. Then Esther called to the Lord, his God, and said, "Lord, there is no one like you to help the powerless against the mighty." So he did recognize himself as a powerless in front of that vast army. "Help us, O Lord, our God, for we rely on you, and in your name we have come against this vast army. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against you." And of course, we know from our lives, when we trust in our Lord, and we just think that he's a fortress, he's a stronghold, always there is one answer. God is answering from heaven and supports us. And that was what happened with Esther, and he won that battle. As a result of that trial, that obstacle, the word of God came. But what kind of word we have when we are obedient to our Lord? We always have a word of encouragement. And in chapter 15, the word of God came and said, "Listen to me, Esther, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he'll be found by you, but if you forsake him, he'll forsake you." And the key repeated word, repeated more than 8 times in these 2 chapters, is to seek the Lord. And of course, he was greatly encouraged. And as a result, he brought all the Judah together, and they renewed the covenant. They made a covenant to seek the Lord. And verse 12, they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, with all their heart and soul. All who would not seek the Lord, the God of Israel, were to be put to death. So the way how he changed the course of the history, and the way how he directed his people to the word of God, was through he issued what he says. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, and to obey the laws and the commands. So he just forced the whole country to be obedient to the Lord. And we'll see that it's a big difference how his son acted. He acted different. But what happened in 36th year of his reign, verse 1 of chapter 16, in the 36th year of Esther's reign, Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and fortified Ramah to prevent anyone from leaving or entering the territory of Esther, king of Judah. He again had a trial, but this time the trial wasn't so great, so big as the one who had before. Actually, he wasn't attacked by Israel. The Israel only fortified the city, Ramah, which was on the border of Judah and Israel, and was only a threat. Wasn't a real danger, but what Esther did was totally different. And he went to Syrians, to the king of Syria, and he said, "Look, help me, go against Israel." And here we found that Esther took the silver and gold out of the treasures of the Lord's temple and gave it to those tyrants. When we are not obedient to the Lord, guess what kind of word we will have? Word of rebuking. And the prophet came and told him the following words. Because you relied on the king of Aram and not on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Aram has escaped from your hand. Were not the Cushites and Libyans our mighty army with great number of chariots and horsemen? Yet when you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. You have done a foolish thing, and from now on you will be at war. Again, the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. As a result, Esther put that prophet in prison. Because he didn't like the way how he presented. He said, you acted foolishly. You've done a foolish thing. With other words, you, king, are a foolish man. And he put him in prison. And the next verse says, Esther was angry with the seer because of this. She was so enraged that he put him in prison. At the same time, Esther brutally oppressed some of the people. And because of that, God wanted to stop him, to redirect him, and he had war, but he didn't stop. After that, he had feet diseases. Esther was afflicted with a disease in his feet. Don't try to make any parallels. Though his disease was severe, even in his illness, he did not seek help from the Lord, but only from physicians. So even in that situation, he didn't stop and he didn't seek the Lord. And as a result, he was killed by the Lord. Now, Jehoshaphat was only 5 years old when the first victory happened. And of course, on his father's knees, to learn about this great victory. I'm sure that every parent in that country were telling to their kids how great was God's deliverance. But he also saw the other side of the coin, and the last five years of his father's reign were a mess. So he inherited a country full of problems. It's not like becoming a president of the United States of America. It's like becoming a president of Afghanistan, full of problems. Because in those 5 years, he was hearing in his house only about wars, about battles, about crisis. And the whole country went into a crisis, an economical crisis. But first of all, into spiritual crisis. Because these two crises, they are always connected. Do you agree with me that spiritual crisis always leads to the economical crisis? So now he's the king. And what you do when you are becoming a king to a country in a war, and your family is in danger, your nation is in danger, everything around you, it's only danger, and you hear only about the new attacks. And look what he did. He first started to fortify the cities. He stationed troops and in all the fortified cities of Judah and put garrisons in Judah. And that was his first move. Was that good? Let's see. In the third year, he made a totally different move. But before that, let's look to what he had to fight, because the enemies who were attacking him, they weren't the only problem. He had some big inner problems. You know that in the last period of Solomon's reign, he made some big mistakes. One of the biggest mistakes which Solomon did, he took the Bible from its social place. I would say that he took the Bible out of the educational system, out of schools. So he made a big mistake. Why he did that? Because he had too many immigrant princesses. And they were demanding the freedom of religion. They wanted to worship to their gods in spite of the country legacy. And here, Solomon, who wanted to be politically correct, and he wanted to please not only to those princesses, but he wanted to please to the countries whom they were represented. He gave that freedom, so now the Bible wasn't the unique and the only value in that country. And we can see that immediately that changed even the economical situation, because before he had a lot of wealth, but now he started to raise, to increase the taxes. Does this sound familiar? Next step, what he did, he brought a sexual revolution in the country. Because when you are reading about Solomon, you find that he was worshipping especially to two pagan gods. And you know, one of them, one of that god was Ishtar, and that, you know, in Rome that's Venus, and in Greece it's Aphrodite. And you know about this god of fertility, because the worship was a promotion of pornography and homosexuals. You'll be amazed if you search male prostitutes, you'll find them in the next reign, in the next reign, and after that you'll find in the house of the Lord. They will stay in the house of the Lord and they will demand their rights, because they will say, we are Jehovah Witnesses. Just recognize us as normal and give us the rights, because you are not different from me, because we are also members of the church. And that's what Solomon did. He promoted pornography and homosexuality, and now Jehoshaphat had to fight against that. But the worst, what he did, he used the tax money to build temples to Molech, which was a god of child sacrifices. So the worship to that god sometimes included child sacrifices. So they were using people's money to pay for child sacrifice. Does that sound familiar to you? And now we see that this godly king had to fight against that. And what he did was amazing. If you open to me, with me, to chapter 17, and you look at verse 7, you'll find that in the third year of his reign, he sent his officials. And I will ask Aaron to read those officials, because when he reads the Hebrew's name, that's the only way when I feel good about my English as well.
How far you want me to go?
I will stop you, don't worry.
In the third year of his reign, he sent his officials, Ben-Ha'il, Obadiah, Zechariah, Nathaniel, and Micaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah. And with them the Levites, Shemaiah, Nethaniah, Zebadiah, Asahel, Shemiramoth, Jehonathan, Adonijah, Tobijah, and Tob Adonijah. And with these Levites, the priests Elishama and Jehoram, and they taught in Judah, having the book of the law of the Lord with them. They went about through all the cities of Judah and taught among the people.
Thank you. So you found that he formed a team. How many people? 16 people. 5 of them were his officials. 9 of them were Levites, or saxophone players, or call them as you want. So, and 2 of them were the priests. The priests were the teachers. And they went, it's amazing to read, they went around to all the towns of Judah, to all the towns of Judah, and taught the people. And what they said to them, only one book, the book of the law. He understood something. He understood that he can change the course of the history or of his country. And he brought educational, or you can, he brought a revival, teaching the people the Word of God. Actually, what he did, he organized the Bible study conferences in every single city. Let's see the results. The result of that move, you'll find in verse 5. The Lord established the kingdom under his control, and all Judah brought gifts to Jehoshaphat. Today, Sunday morning, how many of you send gifts to your president? But they were sending gifts to his to their president. Why? Because his image, his name, he immediately was raised up by God, so that established his kingdom. He didn't try to please the people. He didn't try to do so many moves to gain the people. He didn't even travel all around to say, hey, we are bad country, we are a weak country, but please, we'll be good from this time now. So he did an amazing move, and that brought him immediately such a support in his country. The people literally were sending gifts to their president. But how about the enemies? Because he was surrounded only by enemies, and we know that before his country was attacked. What happened with the enemies? We can read that in verse 10. The fear of the Lord fell on all the kingdoms of the land surrounding Judah, so that they did not make war with Jehoshaphat. Some Philistines brought Jehoshaphat gifts and silver as tribute, and the Arabs brought him flocks, 7,700 rams, and 7,700 goats. So, and you can find a lot of gifts were sent to Jehoshaphat. Have you heard about Arabs sending gifts to Israel? That happened. And why this happened? Because this godly king made an amazing step. Sometimes we can say, hey, I'm not a king. I cannot bring such a great input in this country. I cannot change the course of this country, but definitely you can change the course of your family. You can change the course of your city. And we see that, I was talking to different immigrants, asking them why you are not spending enough time in the Word of God. They will tell you, listen, I have 6 souls to take care of. I have to work on 2 or 3 jobs because that's my situation. I moved to this country. I have to support my family. And sometimes you understand him, and that's what Jehoshaphat will tell you in those 3 years. first 3 years of his reign, he will say, you don't understand me. I have to protect my country. I have to protect my family. I have to protect this nation. But after 3 years, he made this amazing move. And because he honored the word of God, God honored him. And you know that every king had to do three things. He had to copy by himself the law. And second, he had to carry with him everywhere. And third, every king had to read every day. Doesn't matter how wise you are. Doesn't matter how much knowledge you have about the Word of God. You have to come to this fresh spring of living water daily, because that will help you to refresh in your memory the words which will change not only your heart, will transform and renew not only your heart, but also your family. That's why we know that. But the question is, how much time we spend with our wife or husband reading the Word of God, meditating, and praying? How much time we spend with our kids? After that, we'll complain that our kids, they are not obedient to us. But the Lord will ask us, where is the Word of God? Which place has the Word of God in your family? And look what happened. Jehoshaphat became more and more powerful. He built forts and sore cities in Judah. He built sore cities because he had a lot of wealth. And if you read till the end of the chapter, you'll find that his army got doubled before his father had only 580 people. You'll find more than 1 million people here. And these were the men who served the king besides those he stationed in fortified cities throughout Judah. So God changed totally the country. But here are three nations, and they said, we will not go to bring gifts to these Jews. We'll not go. The Lord said, no, you'll go. No, we'll not go. You'll go. No, we'll go to kill them. Okay, go ahead. And they went, chapter 20, they went to destroy this country, and the coalition was made out of three nations, chapter 20, verse 1, Moabites, Ammonites, and those from Mount of Seir, or Edomites. They went against Judah, and you know that these nations used to be enemies, but they made a fragile coalition only to destroy this country. You know, when Joseph found out, was too late. Was too late. He found out that he is already surrounded, because when he was reported, he said he was said that a vast army, it's already in En-Gedi. So they were surrounded from all the sides. It was too late. You find here that he got not only alarmed, but full of fear. And in the fear, he made the best move again. Because the brave, courageous man is not the one who lacks fear, who doesn't have fear. It's the one who knows how to manage the fear. And here, he humbled himself. He resolved to inquire of the Lord. Not only him. He didn't only humble himself. He also organized the whole country. He announced a national day of prayer. By the way, very soon we will have a national day of prayer. But we found here that all the Judah came in Jerusalem. All the Judah came to pray. Do we need more terrorist attacks to get organized in the National Day of Prayer? Do we need more attacks to be motivated to come all together and to pray for this nation? Don't we have enough evidences what is happening here and we need to change? The whole Judah came as one person, and they fasted and prayed, and that's what Jehoshaphat said to the Lord. O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. And after that, she used the promise given to Solomon by God. He said, in calamity, when the sword of judgment, in verse 9, or flood will come over this nation, will come in that very place in the temple which bears your name, and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. He was sure that God will hear and save. Why? Because God promised to Solomon every time, when you will come in that place, doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter how worse is your sin, but if you pray with your humble heart, I will hear and I will help. And that's what Jehoshaphat knew, and that's what we know. That every time, doesn't matter what we've done, when we are coming in that holy place, in that temple of God, and we pray to our Lord, He will hear and will save if we humbled ourselves before Him. What God did when He listened to His prayer, because He said, we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Listen, all the Israel. When you don't know what to do, have your eyes upon our Lord. Gaze at Him and look what the Word of God said. Listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. Verse 17. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. As a result, Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground and all the people. What God repeated 3 times, do not be discouraged. Do not be afraid. But go against them. Can you imagine that you are attacked by terrorists? You are sitting in your house and you are carrying all the furniture, trying to close the windows, trying to make barricades to stop them coming in. You are already in the closet and you are pretending like you are a suit hanging up in the closet. And here, among everything, you are saying, Lord, help me, Lord, Lord, help me. You already called the police. And but you are just crying to the Lord. And the Lord says, okay, open the door. Go out. March against them. Lord, no, here, no, not out. No. I want you to take your position. I want to come before them. They have AK-74, but you stay in your position. Lord, no, not here. Here, help me here. No, I want you to go against them. That's what he told to Jehoshaphat. What he did, he knew that no one would like to open the fortress, the gate. But what he did, he said to the people, listen to me. Judah and the people of Jerusalem, have faith in the Lord your God, and you'll be upheld. Have faith in his prophets and you will be successful. He turned the hearts of the people and helped them to trust in the Lord. Next morning, he appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out to the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." It's amazing. They opened the gates, but they didn't come with the army. Before them were all those singers. They came out with a parade like those who already won the battle. And we found here, as they began, in that very moment when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men of Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies laying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry out their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing, and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. Do you see what God is doing? These three nations said, "No, we'll not go to bring gifts to these Jews. We hate them." Lord said, no, you'll go. No, we'll not. You'll go. We'll not. We'll go to kill them. Go, but take a lot of plunder, a spoil. Take gold, take silver, precious stones. Go. And now they are coming. They are surrounding. And Lord said, no, closer. And they are coming. They are surrounding. No, closer, because I don't want my people to take time, take effort and to carry it for many days. Come closer now. 1, 2, 3, kill each other. And they started to kill each other. They started to kill each other, and when the Israel came, he found them laying. All of them were killed. No one escaped. 3 days took to Israel to collect all those goods. So all the goods from Sam's, from Walmart, were there. Here they are. Just carry them into your house. That's how God rewards when we trust in him. Let's see again what Jehoshaphat did, what were his reforms. First of all, he made mistakes, because we are humans and we are making mistakes. That's the subject of another sermon. You know that he came he allied himself with some ungodly people. He even married his son, and as a result of that, later on, he'll lose all his kids, because that son will kill the rest of his brothers. You know that he came in an unequal yoke with non-believers, but he's known by this amazing reforms. First of all, he brought back the Bible, and he brought back the Bible in the social life, in our school system. He placed the Bible in the place where the Bible is supposed to be. And you'll find in chapter 19 that when the people started to forget about the importance of the Bible, he went again teaching the people the Word of God. Was always interesting for me to find out why the kings were committing the same mistakes. You'll find about the kings that they did a lot of good stuff, but they didn't remove the high places. And it's like, why? Why they were keeping those high places, most of them built by Solomon? You know, it's not like you are coming to Israel and saying, hey, people, let's remove the high places because I don't like them and they are not good, and the people will say, okay. No, they will fight. What's wrong with you, they will say. That's our heritage. That's our legacy. That's how we've been all those years. That's the place where my parents used to go. Don't touch them. You cannot remove the high places until you remove those idols from their hearts. You cannot remove the idols from Israel until you change their hearts, the hearts of the people. And that's what Jehoshaphat did. He did differently from his father. His father commanded, and he said, if you will not honor this Bible, you'll be killed. Jehoshaphat did differently. He went and he taught the people the Word of God. So he brought back the Word of God and made that reform which brought the revival in the country. Economical revival and political revival. Second, what he did, he made a judicial reform. You'll find in chapter 19 that he stopped the corruption which was so already spread in that country. And also he passed a bill against the homosexuals. Because we know that everything that we are doing today, or what we don't do today, that will affect the future generations. And we can see that the effects of Solomon's mistakes were seen in years. And that's why thinking about our kids, thinking about new generations, God is expecting from us to do something. Don't think about big things. Think about the small steps which you can do, first of all, in your family. The Lord said that you should seek, first of all, the Word of God, and everything else, He will be supporting us with that. And that's why we can change the situation in our family. To do what Moses said, teach your kids the Word of God in the night, in the morning, when you are in vacation, everywhere and every time, give the honor to the Word of God. And you will see that immediately all the situation with your family, with this church, will change. That's what we are trying to do, the leadership group of this church. We are trying to establish a biblical thinking, a biblical overview in everything. Where is that the kids ministry, or the youth ministry, or the adult ministry? We need this biblical thinking in everything, and that's what Pastor Terry is working to do. And second, we saw that when they had trials, God is allowing trials in our lives not to bring us to a downfall, but to increase our commitment, to change us, to transform us. And that's why you have trials, and somebody maybe it's already in the midst of the trials. And there is only one way to solve them, is to trust in the Lord of Israel, who helped through the history so many times. All these people, we have here stories of hundreds of people. Is that not enough evidence that God is working? Is that not enough evidence in your life? You know, in the past, when you trusted in the Lord, you had only one outcome, that God will support you and will bring peace. If he will not bring peace in your country, maybe in your family, he will bring peace in your heart. We know that the Queen Sheba made a long trip to come to Israel and to listen to God's wisdom. And she said, happy are your people, your officials, she said to Solomon, that they are listening to this amazing wisdom day by day. We have now an amazing teacher, which is the Holy Spirit, who teaches us. Sometimes when that Spirit looks that you are too relaxed, he gives a speaker like me, and you immediately try to focus, to try to understand me. And he is sending teachers, and he wants to change your heart, your family, this country. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are coming before you as Israel, as Judah did in the time of distress. And they said that we are powerless. We are nobody. We are nothing. But you are everything, and you can come and help us in our situation. Lord, we know that the words which you left on this earth and empowered with your Holy Spirit is active even in nowadays and can transform our lives and renew our hearts and change the situation in our families, in our country. We see now that the whole nation is involved in this process of expelling your word out of our society. And we know that that will bring a terrible outcome. Lord, this country criticized so long the communist system, and now it's making the same mistake. Lord, help us. Help us to play an active role in preserving this country, in keeping the Word of God in its proper place. Help us, Lord, to let ourselves, first of all, renewed by it, and help us to change the course of, first of all, of our church. Lord, we are trusting you, and we know that you will do that because we're asking you in the sweet name of Jesus. Amen.